Welcome to The Art of Growth. This is Jim Zartman, and today Joel Hubbard and I are beginning a new series on empathy for each of the types. We wanted to go behind the scenes on what it's like to be each type and engage our imagination on what it's like to be them, because it does give us better empathy on where people are coming from. Before we jump into this episode, the hub of our work is theartofgrowth.org. That is where you can go to take our free assessments, whether Enneagram or Instincts. There's also some new assessments coming for businesses on our corporate page. And theartofgrowth.org is where you can book individual coaching sessions or bring us into your organization to train you on what we specialize in, which is personality with the Enneagram, trust, which is a building block of communication. And these are often what we work with companies around. So let's go ahead and jump into the conversation with Joel and I as we set up this series on empathy for the types.
I'd say probably over the last maybe 5 years to 10 years, I've been thinking a lot about how there hasn't been much in the way of empathy in social circles that I've participated in. I've been surprised by it actually at times where people, including myself, by the way, it's like I'm including myself in that discussion of I have been surprised at my own lack of empathy at times around how people interact with people. Generally, we're pretty okay, you know, if we're having a conversation or interaction with each other. But it's outside of that, there'll be some reflection on someone. And it'll be like, you know, this person, and, you know, we'll do that even with spouses or partners or children or parents. And it's fine, you know, because sometimes you have to process out loud. But I also find that there's not a movement towards that. Okay, so finally, I've vented. I've gotten it out of me. But I also recognize that there are some things about them that make them who they are. And I get that, and I'm touched by that. It doesn't move to that. It tends to be that increasingly we're moving, I think, more into trying to have our vision of the world, our understanding of the world, be the understanding that either prevails or that we find ourselves struggling with trying to understand how other people see the world. And I think you have to get past all that and get to, what does it feel like to be them? You'll never understand people. I've had people say to me, well, why does this, my type seven husband always feel like he's going to have more, or like he's deprived, he's going to get, you know, why? And I laugh now because I do this with a lot of grace. You know, I laugh, but I'm like, you'll never understand that.
Right.
It's not a rational issue, right? It doesn't fit in that world of understanding. You have to feel it. You have to feel what it's like. You have felt that at times. You have felt, I believe we have felt all nine types' core need, because we are all nine types, even though predominantly we lead with one. One's the larger piece of the pie, as we've said before. And, you know, philosophers have talked about this existential hole or this existential angst, and there's different words we put to it. But there's this idea that you're kind of born into the world with it. It's not something that is given to you by your parents. I know that that's still controversial, and there's some people who don't believe that, and that's fine. I just ask you to try it on and see if it, you know, just think about it. Stay open to it.
Hang out with some kids.
Hang out with some kids, exactly. Oh, my gosh.
You see it, yeah.
Like, yeah, because they're born differently. Like, you know, I've said this before, siblings, if you're born within, let's say, a year from each other, and you all come out different types, it's like the question is why? Why is it that you did? And why is it that you have these holes or this angst or this pain that's deep down inside that you seem to just carry with you? I have a twist on that. I think it's actually a gift to us, because it's supposed to move us towards making the world a better place, motivated by a lack we see in the world, not a lack we see in ourselves. And that, you know, we can all, through all nine types, really meet some of those needs. But the existential hole that each one of us has is something that cannot be explained or understood through the head center. It is something that can only be understood through the heart center.
Yeah, and I wonder how we even get into the heart center on that, because I remember a couple years ago we were doing a training for an organization, and we had people actually standing on a physical number and then shifting to a different number, and then you were going through this meditation of imagining what it's like to be that type. Mm-hmm. Through the gift of the imagination, where it's not that others understood what it was like to be that type, but there was the engagement of the imagination allowed for more of the engagement of the heart, where you could have a better sense or feel for what it was like to be someone else. Yeah. There is a path to that, because to go back to where we started at the beginning when you started, is there's this growing value of the awareness that we need to be empathetic. There's a need to be empathetic to struggles that other people are having. You know, there's those memes going around that every person you know is fighting a battle that you don't understand. There's this concept of empathy, but at the same time, there's this increased polarization where, well, those people over there, they just think, you know, fill in the blank. And there's a dehumanization, a reduction of the human being so that we don't have to empathize. Mm-hmm. Because then we can stay safe. And I think that's one of the motivations behind it. We feel safe if we can call the perspective or experience of someone else crazy or less than or immature or whatever title we want to put on it. But we'll name the experience of someone else as less than in order to distance ourselves from empathy. That way, we can hold more strongly to our worldview, our perspective, the way we think, the way we see, as being right, because that'll give us a sense of security and safety. And there is a problem with empathy. There is a danger that it will feel like if we empathize with different people's experience, with their other needs, all of this, that somehow I'm going to feel less right in the world and therefore less safe. Mm-hmm. So I think there's this dichotomy, almost a subconscious cultural war between empathy and security if that perspective were to take over. Is that making sense at all?
Well, yeah, that's absolutely. I think that is a big part of what has kept, you know, me and I suspect many others from moving towards empathy is the fear of maybe I'm wrong and maybe I will have to change, right? And if your ego is there to serve you, to protect you from, you know, psychological pain as well as physical pain.
Yeah.
But it's there trying to tell you that, okay, you know, you've got to, this is the way you have to behave based upon your type. Your type has its own way of functioning in the world to stay safe.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And I think I'm thinking about this a bit more because, like, today's 9/11. I'm seeing people post about it.
Yeah.
And I'm remembering the journey that the country went on after that, which really made me aware of this desire for a common enemy in order to bond. And you certainly can't empathize with your enemy. Right? Or love your enemy. Like, that whole concept was a very challenging one in those times, even for people who wanted to be advocates of it. And so at this time, this need to scapegoat and this need to rally around a common enemy, like, impedes the capacity for empathy to understanding what someone else is experiencing. And so my question when I meet someone is, are they on the right team? So yeah, yep. That's just kind of like extrapolating from what I'm hearing you.
Yeah, absolutely. Remind me of. And I think so. That's naming one of the problems. The other problem is that we think that by showing empathy, it means that that other person, if they're doing something that we think is wrong, or they're thinking something wrong, they won't be motivated to change. Mm. And you know, too much empathy and people don't change.
Or we think that if we showing empathy is equivalent to agreement.
Yeah. Yeah, that because you understand, you must agree.
Yeah, okay.
And I do think that that in order for people to really move towards empathy as a collective, there has to be some willingness to be honest about what's going on. If you're not exposing or someone you know is not exposing what's really going on internally for them.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for the other side to understand, even at a heart level. Like, I don't understand what's going on because all I'm hearing is your ideology. I don't understand what's really going on because all I hear is, you know, how everybody else is stupid or wrong. I can't access you because unless I agree with you, I don't know if you probably have had this experience multiple times like I have, but you have somebody who comes at you and tells you what they think and believe about things in the world. And you're on the other side and you're thinking, I completely disagree with everything that person just said.
And they're sharing it because they assume that
they you agree. And right. You're like, I don't know how to engage in this conversation at this point. I don't know how to enter in. Do I enter in by saying, right, I disagree with everything you just said? Do I enter in by going, oh, let me just go along with you? It's like, well, I don't know how to engage that. So sometimes I've taken a step back and said, so why are we having this conversation right now? Or why are you sharing this with me? And it's funny how people will be, it's like a splash of cold water that wakes them up to what's happening in the moment. Like, what am I doing here? Like, I'm trying to convince you. I'm trying to persuade you. What am I doing by telling you all of this stuff? Now, when I know the person, obviously, there's a little bit more awareness around who the person is, what's motivating this, and so I can work around that. But that does not allow the empathy to really work well because I don't know what's really happening for you. But when you open up and you see, this has more to do with this that's happening internally, a pain point. Then it opens up for empathy. And I've even said to people, like, if I'm going to open up, and when I've done this with some folks and they start to try to resolve, fix me because I've just opened up, I will say, I'm not looking to be fixed. I'm looking for just solidarity in this space. Like, can you hang with me for a moment? And I do those with very, very close people, obviously, not people at a distance. But if you can move increasingly towards helping people to understand how to do empathy with you, obviously you're opening up. Now you're welcoming them into that space. If someone is doing that on the other side, what you want to do is move in with empathy. And I think that is the way in, is you have to be able to be open yourself, be truthful yourself. And, both sides are being truthful and both sides are then entering in and demonstrating empathy, because I think you can show solidarity or you can come alongside of a person in the area of their pain, not in the area of their interpretation of that pain and their application of how to move forward in life because of that interpretation. Because I think that's how it works. You have the pain, you have the interpretation of the pain, and then you have the sort of application. Here's how I'm going to live my life as a result of that. And those last two, man, we can have disagreement around that, and we should.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's where a lot of it, like, well, fine, that's the pain, but if that's the result or that's the way you work it out, do you understand the consequences of that? And for all of us, we have to do that with each other in order to continue to grow in figuring out better ways of responding rather than reacting to the pain that we've all experienced.
And I think the way you're describing that, this important component is when someone comes and they're sharing with the assumption that you're going to agree with them or buy in, it is lacking the vulnerability piece, which is the very thing that will make you empathetic towards their experience and their perspective, even if it's something you totally agree with. If it's got a dogmatism feel to it in the way it's being communicated, it's very hard to then also access our own internal empathy for that person and their life. But if they were even to share something that you totally disagree with in a vulnerable way that says, this is kind of how I feel, and this is why, and this is what I'm experiencing, and I don't know, like, do you have thoughts on that? Like, could we talk about that? If there is an openness in the way that they shared, if it's not looking for an enemy, if it's not looking for a scapegoat, then it actually creates more of a context where we can hear each other. I remember hearing Brené Brown talk about this question about, do you believe that everyone is doing the best they can? And I remember her sharing her internal reaction to that question was hell no. And I was like, I'm so glad she said that, because that's 100% my reaction. My reaction is no, people aren't doing anywhere close to what they could be doing their best. And neither am I, and I'm judging myself for it. So how dare you question my self-judgment in this regard either?
Sure.
Right. So that comes up as well. And then I love her husband's statement. He said, I don't know if people are doing the best they can, but I know that I'm better when I act like they are, to treat people as they are. So I think it really helps to start from that place, knowing I'm not going to understand them, like you were saying. Yeah. If we actually want to be heard or have empathy towards us, that we need to come from that place of vulnerability, that we need to be aware of our own mechanisms that want to have an enemy, have a common enemy, that need a scapegoat, that need something to be against in order to be propped up in what we are for, that all of those are a component.
Yeah, for sure. You have to be able to be truthful about yourself. You have to have awareness before you can be even truthful. And then you have to be truthful about what's happening underneath.
Yeah.
And most people are living from the external. It's like, these are my ideologies. These are my beliefs. This is my worldview. This is how I see things. And we're functioning from that level. And so—
And being aware that those are perspectives.
I
typed a really young person this past week, and it was just amazing because it was the first time he realized that his perspective was a perspective. And it was like, oh my goodness. So this is not how other people see it. So it's like that. So you're, like you're saying, that mechanism has to turn on in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, that's the movement towards finally getting to the place of where there's shared empathy. Because I don't think you can ask people to be empathetic all the time with everybody all around them. You'd have to actually create imaginations constantly. Like, I've got to imagine you at your in a different way, or I've got to imagine what you might be struggling with, or I've got to imagine. But it's not really embodied in any sort of like social interaction.
Yeah, yeah.
So the invitation is always to doing this with other people, doing this with a group, doing this in relationships with people you can trust. But it begins there. It begins with, do I know who I am? Do I understand what my own thinking and my own feeling and my own doing?
Yeah.
You know, do I understand how it's all connected to my type? And when I have the awareness, then I can be truthful. And when I'm truthful, then I can be met with empathy. So it's a risk, because you might be wounded in the process. You will be wounded in the process, because some people won't know how to handle it. But it gives you, for the first time in your life, it gives you the opportunity to really receive grace. Really receive empathy from other people.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's maybe dive in and look at the types and do this in a way that gets underneath, so that we can feel that and see what's behind each of the types. See if we can even move into our hearts, even as you're listening to us talk and go through the types. It will be interesting to you from a head perspective. But see if you can join with us in the heart center, like really feel.
Yeah.
The empathy, the being touched and being moved by someone else's pain, someone else's fear, someone else's whatever we want to call that.
Yeah, someone else's experience of reality, what they experience on a day process. So that's what we're going to do through this series of podcasts, is we're going to take you a little behind the scenes of what we have seen over and over again with each of these types. And so a lot of times we really want to emphasize in the panels that types speak for themselves. That's been a huge value of ours. We feel like that's core to the Enneagram, core to our practice. And so we don't do coaching live in those sessions. We don't often share like the intimacy of what's going on behind the scenes for them, because we don't want them to be exposed. We want them to speak for themselves at the level of vulnerability they are comfortable with when they come in, and you know they're going to be on a podcast. And even when we tell panelists, like, hey, people aren't really listening to you. They're listening for themselves or for other people they know through your voice as a way to understand the type or get to know what's going on with them. But through this little series, we're going to go through an episode on each type and just give you a bit of an experience, what that type experiences, what it's like to be them, what they have shared with us, and a little bit of the coaching that goes around with that type because of what they experience behind the scenes. So this is our introduction to this little series, and we want to name the problem, but I think through getting to see the types in this way, we're able to move through that problem a bit more and be more empathetic of every single person, because they're all one of these. They're all having one of these experiences. And some of them, like Joel said, we have all nine types within us, so we've experienced some of this stuff before. But we're going to let you imagine with each type, what do you think it'd be like to be feeling this on a regular basis, a consistent basis, and for some, even a constant basis? Mm-hmm. And so looking behind the scenes of that through this series, I think will be really helpful for folks to know, and having a bit of coaching for them along the way. So thanks for joining us, and make sure you are subscribed as we go through this empathy series. I think this is going to be really important for people to get a behind the scenes look at each type and what it's like to be them as far as the struggle of their daily lives. And for all of us, I think it also helps us have a little more empathy for ourselves. When we get to the point where we are no longer stuck in the questions of asking what's wrong with other people or what's wrong with us, we can really start to live into our light and our unique gifting, because we deeply believe that who you most naturally are is what the world needs from you. If you have any questions, you can email us at theartofgrowth.org or set up coaching. And if you'd like, you can follow us on Instagram at just artofgrowth. But for now, my friends, may you lean into a season of empathy where you look at your own story with grace, you look at your own experiences with a compassionate eye, and allow that to be the starting point to have more empathy for others, their own story, their experience, and not in a way that excuses anything, but in a way that integrates the whole of our experience, because that is the way to move forward. Grace and growth, my friends.